And I'm in a series I'm calling A Fresh Start. How many are glad that God gives us a fresh start? You know, I don't know about you. Now, I know there's most of you probably would say something in 2018 that if I could do it differently, I would. Well, can I tell you, as a believer, don't live with regret. Don't live with guilt. Don't shout me down now. Don't live with guilt. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't justify. When I say don't live with guilt, it doesn't mean you can just keep on doing what you're doing. But if you've messed up, put it under the blood of Jesus and begin anew, that you are new in Christ Jesus and God is giving you a fresh start. Now, do you have a sermon outline? If you need one. If you do, we've got an usher in the back. He'll give you a sermon outline. It is extremely important for you to hold on to that outline because I work very hard to give it to you. No, that's not the reason. The reason is this. You will retain what God says to you by jotting down some notes and seeing some of the things that I've put down on the paper for you. I don't want you to hear what I have to say, but I want you to hear what God has to say. 2 weeks ago, I began this series, and it's based on Isaiah 43, verse 18. And I'll read it to you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Now it springs up. God is wanting to do new things in your life. Forget the past. Forget the former. Don't think about those things. Don't dwell on those things. But look for the new things that God wants to do in your life. I'm thankful that His mercies are new every morning. You know what that means? Every morning I can wake up, and after I've had a cup of coffee, and I know how some of you are. Some of you, some of you wake up, man, and you're fired up. You're ready for the day. You're taking off. And some of you, you don't even believe in God till afternoon. I know. Shirley really like. I said that just for you, Shirley. You heard about the counselor that asked the lady, they had gone for counseling. The counselor asked the lady, he said, do you wake up grumpy? And she said, no, I let him sleep in. Bless me, Lord. How many want God to do something new in your life? Now, if I want new fruit to come, if I want new plants to grow, I got to plant what? Seed into fresh soil. So I'm going to help you plant some seeds today. I believe that 2019 can be a new year of opportunity for you. And for that to happen, for you to see that ushered into your life, you can't just sit idly by and just say, okay, bless me, Lord. No, you've got to begin to follow the Lord in new ways and begin to watch what He will do, and it will spring up. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm using the word START as an acronym. Every letter in START will represent the main theme of the message. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about stop making excuses. Now, if you missed last week, I preached on a very important, critical issue in our society today, abortion. And if you want to hear that message, if you missed it, you can go to the website and see that. I believe it's important in light of current events for the believers to be informed of what's taking place in our world, especially in Kansas, because a very important issue is going to the Supreme Court on dismemberment abortions. It's not just an abortion after a few weeks. It is late-term abortions where they actually are killing the baby in the womb and dismembering it piece by piece. It's serious, and it's going before our Supreme Court. The church has got to be in prayer concerning this matter, and we need to pray that God will raise up eloquent voices that will be able to help people understand the issues at hand. Because I truly believe if people know what is going on, anyone with conscience cannot see that, they will see that it's brutal, it's inhumane, And it's a holocaust. All right, I'm done with that. You can go to Kansas for Life if you want to know more about that. You can take me to lunch. I'll talk to you. You can feed me real good, and I'll feed you. Very good. So today we're taking T. Take stock of your life. Take stock of your life. You need to ask four questions. Here they are. What have I learned? What did I learn last year? Some were good. Some things I learned, I need to change. And how many know that if you do not sit down and think through your life in the last year, you will probably end up making the same mistakes in 2019 that you did in 2018? So you need to do a proper evaluation of your life. Number two, ask yourself, what are my assets? I'm not just talking about what you own, but what do you have going for you? What can you count on? What can you depend on? Here's why. Because when you go through difficulty, you will get overwhelmed with your liabilities. You'll get overwhelmed with your problems. You'll get overwhelmed with your circumstances. You know what circumstances are? They're just like mattresses. It's better to be on top than on bottom. And so you've got to look back. You've got to see, okay, what can I really depend on? And then invest in what is very important to you and invest in your strength. Build on your strengths and allow your strengths to carry you through the times of difficulty. Number three, this is all introductory, okay? There's more to come. Who can help me? If I need a fresh start, listen, I got to understand, I can't make it on my own. If I think I can, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You need other people in your life. You need a small group to be a part of. You need a Bible study group. You need somebody that you're accountable to. You need leadership in your church that you're accountable to and working with. You need to be a vibrant member of a body of believers so that when trouble comes, you will be able to rise above it. The Bible says two are better than one, because they have a better return for their labor. When we work together in harmony, we can have a great return for our labor and be a great lighthouse to our community. If either of them falls down, if two walk together and one falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Pity that person. Think about it. Moses had, David had, Jonathan. Okay, we'll start over. Now that you, Moses had, David had, Paul had, Timothy or Silas. All right, we'll start over. Moses had, David had, Jonathan, Paul had, Timothy, Fred had, Barney. And even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. See, you know why I get you to laugh is because it goes down easier. That's right. Because here's the goes down. Here is the goes down. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So as I ask questions, I must ask this: what have I learned? What are my assets? And who can help me? And then not only that, who can I help? And how faithful have I been to the body of Christ? If there's somebody that would come to this church needing hope, needing help, needing salvation, how many know that's important? Someone would come to this church and say, I want to be rescued from darkness. I want to come into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be in the kingdom of God. I want to go to heaven. What kind of believer do they need who will stand with them, walk with them, and help them? Someone who is here once a month. God help us, folks. I could preach this and just stop. If we just see church as a casual club I attend, I go when I feel like it, rather than feeling a sense of obligation, a sense of ministry, not duty. I don't want you to do work for God out of duty, but do it out of a sense of purpose, knowing that God has placed you in the body of Christ for a reason, and there's going to be people that you can touch, you can help, and it can only happen if you're faithful to God's house. All right, number four. What do I believe? What is truth? See, when you start over, you make a fresh start, you got to change your thinking. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the life, or the mouth speaks, the life lives. And in fact, the way I think will determine how I act. And some of us are working off of faulty data. And that faulty data is causing your life to continue to have difficulty, to struggle, to crash, to burn out. When we begin to change our minds and what we believe and build it on the truth of the Word of God, then we begin to grow, we begin to prosper, we begin to be blessed, we begin to be free. See, we all have faulty thinking. You have memories that are in the past that are not true. You have perceptions that you've had about life that are not true. You've made assumptions that are not based on truth. And you believe things that are not true. And so the Bible says in Proverbs, you need to get the facts at any price. Get the facts at any price. Let me just talk to you very practically. Everybody got your ears on? All right. If you're experiencing financial difficulty, then you need to get the facts about your finances. You need to be realistic about your finances. You need to ask, how are we doing? And then you need to figure out how you are really doing. Let me give you a formula for disaster. Here it is. Ignorance plus easy credit equals disaster. If you don't know where you're headed with your finances, you're not keeping good records, and you've got credit cards, you are in trouble. And you're going to go deeper. It's not going to get better. Because you'll put debt on top of debt, and you won't even know that you can't afford it. You've got to change your mentality. You need to realize that God has a plan to enable you to get out of debt, to put God first in your finances, and that you can be blessed and move forward rather than allow the enemy just to strap your life with debt, which will bring you to disaster. So why is it important to get the facts? Let me talk to you from another perspective. Here it is. You store things in your subconscious about yourself that are not based on truth. Maybe when you were young, very impressionable, we tend to accept what other people say about us as true. They said it, so it must be true. For example, maybe somebody told you were dumb. And you could say, oh, that didn't impact. Well, then all your life you thought you were dumb. Or maybe somebody said you're lazy and you think you're lazy. Or somebody says you're not going to amount to much. And guess what? You think all your life, I'm not going to amount to much, until you change your thinking. All it takes is one coach in the third grade to say you're totally uncoordinated. And you think for all of your life, in your 30s, 40s, 50s, that you're uncoordinated. And you base your life on some kind of faulty perception that somebody had about your life. Can I tell you today, the only thing that really matters is what God says about you? Can I tell you this, that even if you are uncoordinated, that must be why I've got a problem with my knee, you know? That's all right. I'm a child of God. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm precious and powerful and meaningful in the eyes of God. My life matters. Amen? So I've got to change my thinking and ask myself, what does God say about my life? Begin to let the truth of God direct my life into the future. Take stock. We read about this in Psalm 90, verse 12. This is really the key verse for today. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think it would be good for us today to do an inventory of our lives, an evaluation of our lives. We need to begin to take stock. That's what Moses was doing. Moses is a writer of Psalm 90. And 1 through 10, he's taking stock. What do we need to take stock of? Let me hurry. I need to take stock of where I have been. That means, watch this, that means that I need to think about where I've been in the last year, the last 2 years, the last 3 years, and I need to begin to evaluate my life in certain areas. Number one, stewardship. Where have I been in my time, my talents, my treasures, and my relationships? If I summarize what's important to you and what's important to most people, your time, your talent, your relationships, and your treasure. And so where am I in these areas? Where have I put God in each area of my time? Where is God with reference to my time? Do I just come to church on Sunday, then do not even really think about God very much through the week? How much time am I spending with God in personal relationship? If it's very little, then one thing you can do this year, you can evaluate where you've been and begin to move forward to increase the time that you spend with God, and your life will be blessed. And so not only my time, but my talents, what am I doing with what God has gifted me with to invest my life into the kingdom of God? Can you? And I know it's tempting to think, well, you know, I'm just one person. I can't really make a difference. You know, all they'll get by. No, they won't. Think about it. If I said that that wall, look, if that was a brick wall and there was one brick missing right in the middle, you looked at the wall, what would you see? A hole in the wall. Right? Then one person would say, you know, that's a pretty good wall. Not 99.999% of that wall is filled with bricks. Every single person in here would say, Pastor, would you fix that hole in the wall? The church has holes in its walls. You matter. You have been gifted by God. And your church needs you in this coming year. If this church is going to move forward, we need every person at their post doing what God has called them to do. Stop allowing peripheral little things to keep you distracted from the things of God. And my treasure, I want God to truly bless my finances, then I've got to put God first. I've got to take stock of, I do this every year. I am not preaching to you what I don't do for myself. I evaluate my giving at the end of the year, and in my income and my giving, to make sure that I haven't made a mistake, because I am human. And I want to make sure that I am putting God first in my finances. Yes, there is grace, but I also know that I must take serious my responsibility to say, God, you are first in my finances. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even have the breath to breathe. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. Lord, everything that I have is from you. And Lord, more than just living for today, I want to live in light of eternity. And the Bible says, store up treasures for yourself. Come on, quote it with me. In heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And if God were to count my life and look at an accounting of my time, my talent, my treasure, and my relationships, what would God have to say? He would love me. Yes, he always will love you. But he loves you so much that he loves you right where you're at, but he loves you even more in that he doesn't want you to stay where you're at, because he wants you to be blessed. And he cares about his kingdom and his work. And his work is not just automatic. If it was automatic, God would have never sent his son. But he sent his son, and the Son of God had to make a willful choice to die on a cross, to become a man, to die, and then to be risen, and then to ascend to the heavens. And now he's sending the Holy Spirit into your life, and you and I must make the same decision he's already made. But we don't make it alone, because he's there to help us. The second area of my life that I have to give proper evaluation too is my discipleship. Number one was what? Stewardship. Number two is discipleship. Have I grown spiritually in the last year? And if you haven't, don't blame your Sunday school teacher. Because I can guarantee you, you've got a good one. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about many of the teachers we have in this church. They're good. They know the Word of God. And you, if you're not growing in the Lord, don't blame the preacher. Don't blame your mom. Don't blame your dad. Don't blame anybody. But look at yourself and remind yourself that you're loved by God and He cares about you. And more than just being a physical person with emotions and a mind and a will and a job and school, God has created a spiritual part of you, and that's where you find life. And so you need to grow. How much time have you spent in prayer, in the Bible, this last year? Have you been participating in a small group? Are you growing? Am I going too fast? Am I growing in grace or stagnating in sin? Oh, Pastor, don't talk about sin. Am I growing in grace? See, God's will is that you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That God's will is that you will become transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He is our life, and we are to be Jesus to the world. Amen. The third area, what about my witness? Now, I'm not going over all these things to condemn you, but to challenge you, to inspire you. Have you led somebody to the Lord this last year? There are many churches that there are believers who have never led anybody to Christ. And there are churches that people they're not even concerned about leading somebody to Christ. Do you have a heart for lost people? That's what, if you feel like, oh my goodness, I lived all of 2018 and I really didn't think about the souls of people who are dying and going into eternity without God. We'll change that. This year, let it be your desire to read and to study the Word of God and learn everything you can about what it's like to be lost. Remember your own life and what it was like to be lost. And then begin to get a fire from God to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you are. And can I tell you today, it's not just the great evangelists like Billy Graham and the people who Franklin Graham and other great preachers, the Robert Morrises of the world. They're not the ones that will really impact the world. It's when every believer in every church gets filled with the Holy Spirit and has a passion to reach their world and they reach their friends for Christ. See, you know what I am? I'm the paid preacher. You know what you are? You're the satisfied customer. It's okay. Janice started to laugh, and then she thought, well, I'm the satisfied. You know what? When you shine your light, you make a big difference in this world. And you know what? You might say, I've never led anybody to Christ. But have you planted a seed? Have you watered it? Because I'll tell you what, the one who leads someone to Christ is not the one who actually caused the harvest. It's the Spirit of God. And we're all a part of it. And God receives all the glory. Amen? Let's go on here. Let me just say this also. Have I invested in the missions program of the church so that Williamstown Assembly of God can embrace the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, you might think, oh, how can we do that? We're just, 50, 60, 70, 80 people. We can't really impact. Yes, we can. We have missionaries that we support who their reach is going around the world. And we can have a living witness that goes on 24 hours a day, every day of the year, if we are missions focused. And guess what the Bible says? Paul said this. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He spoke that to the church in Philadelphia or in Philippi. And at that time, they were the only church that was supporting his missionary work. And I will hold on to that promise that if I am faithful to missions, that God will bless me and take care of my life, because the kingdom of God all the way around the world matters to God. Finally, what about my fellowship? What about my relationships? Am I spending time with other believers? Or am I just hibernating at home and drawing away from the fellowship? See, if you live in seclusion, you're not going to be fulfilled as a person. And it's then when the enemy can come in and he can cause all kinds of problems
to come up because you have forsaken the assembly of yourselves with other believers. See, let's read. And I'm going to read this and then I'm going to close. Acts 2:42. 5 or 6 verses, okay? And I want you to go back and read this later. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Who's the they? The church that Jesus planted. The first believers. How many know we would be blessed as a church if we followed that pattern? The Acts 2 church. Well, a couple of you believe that. I know you do. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. See, many churches today, people come in, they sit somewhere where they can just kind of be hidden, and then they leave as quick as they can, and there's no real fellowship, there's no accountability, there's no community. But they were devoted to the Word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at many of the wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That church had abundance. There was someone in need, they could just take care of it. God help us, amen. God bless you, I pray so much that you can be a person who will give to allow this to happen in and through the church today. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together. How many say amen to that? With glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Oh, we need to take stock of where we've been, where we're going, and set a new course to be on track with what God wants to do in our life. And if you've been off track, get on track. It's not that hard. How many know it's not hard to get saved, delivered, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you don't do it. God does it. But you got to be available to God. You got to open your heart to the Lord. And a new day's coming. Oh, let's just go back real quickly. Isaiah, he said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Hallelujah. Father, today, I pray, God, that seeds of great things would be planted in the hearts of your people today. Lord, I pray that faith would arise in our hearts and that we would believe you for new and fresh beginnings. A fresh start, oh God. Lord, I pray that we would not be content with what's happened in the past. I pray, God, that we would begin to pursue what you have with passion for our lives. And I pray that this picture of the church that we just read about would be what would happen in the church today.